chapter 7, the book of Hebrews. I should say chapter 7, the book of Exodus. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet." And that's because the word of God is going to come first to Moses, and so he will be in the place of God, and then Aaron will take the word that God gave Moses and pass it on to the people, especially to Pharaoh. And so he is like the prophet. And that's the chain, and we'll see what happens in verse 2. "You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land." So God says, "Moses, I'm going to give you every last word that I want you to say, and don't leave any of it out." And that's because every word of God is inspired, and he wouldn't have given it to us unless he intended to, for us to read it, to understand it, and to abide by it. So he wants to give Pharaoh the word of God, and he wants Pharaoh to have the entire word of God, including the stuff, including the word that's going to really upset him. Verse 3, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So he's not going to receive the word of God. And Pharaoh's going to harden his own heart several times before God finally gives him what he wants and hardens his heart judicially. So he's not going to hear the word, but he's going to hear it. He's not going to act on the word or accept the word, but he's going to hear it anyway. 4. And he says, "But Pharaoh shall not hearken to you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments." He's going to put on a show, and not for entertainment purposes. God is going to showcase his power by Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to let the people go. Everybody will know by the time God is done that God is God. And that's what verse 5 is talking about. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." You know that God was concerned about the Egyptian people? You know, they're down there worshiping snakes and worshiping cows and worshiping frogs and worshiping lice and worshiping a river. God wants to show them that he is God, the only God. And so, you know, the reason for these miracles is to reveal himself to them, because he doesn't want them to go to hell. Who knows? Maybe some will turn to him. 6. "And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they." Well, they did their part. And that's all that a preacher can do, is faithfully give out the word of God. 7. "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh." So Aaron's 83, Moses is 80. Verse 8, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying," here comes the word of God again. It says in verse 9, "When Pharaoh shall speak to you, saying, show a miracle for you, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." So Moses and Aaron obey the word of God, because God said it's going to become a serpent. Now, this took faith on the part of Moses and Aaron. They have to trust the word of God. Because, you know, an unbeliever might think, well, yeah, God told me that I throw down my staff and it's going to become a serpent. What happens if it doesn't happen? And then the stick is just going to lay on the floor and I'm going to look like an idiot. Moses and Aaron believed the word of God. And so they acted on it. And sure enough, it did become a serpent. God came through. Verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. They threw down their sticks, if they were real sticks. I think it was a magician's trick in that day where they could make a snake as stiff as a board. Anyway, whatever they did, whether it was a trick in that way or perhaps it was a miracle done by Satan in order to deceive. At any rate, it appeared that they did the exact same miracle as Aaron and Moses did. And it says in verse 12, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And there you go, the power of God is greater than the power of the devil. Verse 13, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not to them, as the Lord had said. Well, I hope they weren't surprised by the fact that Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go, even though Aaron's rod swallowed up his servant's two rods. And then, of course, it became a stick again. So just think about that. Aaron and Moses, the rod that they had, the rod that they were holding, contained the two snakes that Pharaoh's enchanters had evidently made out of sticks. God just swallowed them up. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He still didn't believe. He still wouldn't obey. Just as God said. 15, get you to Pharaoh. Actually, we got to back up. 14, and the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get you to Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's brink, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall you take in your hand. So go meet Pharaoh by the river, because you're going to do another miracle. And this is a good one. 16, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, until now, you would not hear. God sees your stubbornness. Listen, Pharaoh, you are disobeying the Lord, the boss. 17, thus says the Lord, in this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And that river is the Nile River. And as I have mentioned earlier, the Egyptians worshiped the Nile. They worshiped a river. God says, I'm going to turn it into blood. 18, and the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Not only would this be an assault against their God, one of their big gods, the Nile River, but it's going to hit their economy pretty hard too, because they depended on the river for life, for sustenance, for food, as well as navigation. 19, and the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone, blood everywhere. Not a bit of fresh water anywhere in Egypt. And even in their vessels. God will cause blood, the water that's in their storage vessels, in their cisterns, to turn to blood. Not even connected to the Nile River. Directly. 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up his rod, or the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And God just discredited one of the big gods of Egypt. You might say he just slew him because he turned him into blood. My God can beat up your God and do it very easily. That was the message that Moses and Aaron sent to Pharaoh. And look at verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken to them, as the Lord had said. Now, I don't get that. So the Egyptian magicians could turn water into blood too. And good. Maybe another satanic trick. What good did that do? That's like somebody beating you over the head with a baseball bat and you grabbing them by the arm and say, wait a minute, I'll show you. I'll get you. And then you grab the baseball bat and you hit yourself over the head. Well, what does that accomplish? You know, reverse the act of God if you want to do something and turn that bloody river back into fresh water. Then you've done something. So the fact that they did it didn't improve anything. 23, Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. Well, you know, this Pharaoh's grabbing at anything to feel justified in not letting the people go. His magicians turned water into blood, supposedly, as well. So, well, that's all the reason he needs not to let the people go. Verse 24, and all the Egyptians dug round about the river for to drink water, for they could not drink of the water of the river. So evidently they found some fresh water. God allowed them to have some fresh water. But there should have been a lesson taught here to them. They should have caught on that God is no one to be messed with. But they're going to have to experience some even worse things, I guess, before they're ready to cry uncle. 25, and 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. Seven lousy, miserable days in that hot climate with sticky, smelly, coagulating blood flowing in the Nile River and all the dead marine life washed up against the shore. It must have been a horrible mess. I can't imagine 7 days of that. 7 days. People desperately looking for some fresh water to drink. 7 days. The stench must have been horrible. And yet, Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. So God's going to tighten the screws next time, even tighter.